This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So inshallah, continuing with our series of reflections here titled Illuminated, where we're looking at the concept and the mention of an-nur, light and illumination within the Qur'an. Today we're going to be looking at ayah number 257 from Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is shortly after the very famous Ayatul Kursi that occurs towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. So at that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minadh dhulumati ila an-nur walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum at-taghut yukhrijunahum min an-nuri ila adh-dhulumat أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that Allah is the friend. Allah is the ally. Allah is closely affiliated to. And to keep it simple and to be able to communicate it in a language that we are more familiar with and that we use more commonly, we'll stick for now with the translation of friend. So Allah is the friend of whom? Alladhina amanu, of those who believe. Right off the bat, there's something very powerful that we all need to understand. And dare I say that we are desperately in need of internalizing. And that is that the concept of iman, the concept of faith, the concept of belief, believing in Allah, iman billah. We understand the framing of iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and we are the creation. And faith, iman, belief is embracing and accepting of that reality. He's the creator, we're the creation. He is the Lord, the Rabb, the master, the owner, and we are the ibad. I am the abd. I am the slave. I am the servant. I am the property. He's malik, right? We say in every raka'ah, maliki yawmiddin. He's malik. Then what does that make me? Mamluk. If he's the owner, then I'm the property. We understand that. And that's the first step of embracing this iman and this faith. And that's very important. And we're not here to argue with that at all. But what this ayah is giving us, and it's beautiful that it coincides here with the beginning of the month of Ramadan, it's giving us the next level, the next layer of that relationship. That yes, there is a relationship here of ownership, of master and servant, but there's also another layer to this relationship that is love. That is affiliation. That is association. That is friendship. And loyalty. And commitment. And devotion and dedication. Think about how generous it is for Allah. Right? Even if you think about it, and this is always a difficult task, because examples help to facilitate understanding. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ. Right, this is why Allah gives you these kinds of examples. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ So that they can figure things out, so that you can understand things. So examples are important because they facilitate understanding, but whenever we're talking about Allah, it's a challenging task. Why? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى For God is the most exalted of examples. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There's nothing that even begins to compare to Allah. So whenever we give an example, we have to be mindful of the fact that nothing compares to Allah. But let's, for a moment, entertain just a relationship between two people. If there's someone of great stature and great status, whatever the arena is that appeals to a person, maybe it's politics, so you're talking about the president of some country. Maybe it's sports, so you're talking about some star athlete. Whatever it is that, you know, appeals to you. If there's someone of very high stature, a world-class athlete, the best in his sport, and then there's just a normal fan, just a kid in the stands, and if that athlete puts his arm around that little kid just from the rafters, from the stands, and says, "This is my friend," think about the generosity. We all say, "Wow, what a nice guy. How generous is he that he called this random kid his friend, when at best he's a fan?" So that's between human beings. Now, so far beyond that, think about the kindness and the graciousness of Allah. That Allah says, "Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu." Those who believe, Allah says, "You are my friends." Subhanallah. And what does it mean to be the friend of Allah? Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. You never have anything to worry about ever again. If you are the friend of Allah, if you are close with Allah, you never have to worry about anything here, nor will you have to worry about anything there in the hereafter. You never have anything to worry about ever. Now, what does Allah do for His friends? يُخْرِجُهُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Now, we're here at this very important concept that I alluded to yesterday as well, in the previous session, that this is a constant example, parable, metaphor in the Quran. A nur and dhulumat. Nur means light. And nur is a metaphor for faith and iman and belief. Dhulumat is the plural of the word dhulma. It means darkness. So this refers to either layers of darkness, or as some of the commentators have mentioned, Imam Ar-Razi and Ibn Atiyah and others have said, that it means different angles or shades of darkness. That for some people it's the darkness of greed. For someone it's the darkness of lust. For someone it's the darkness of oppression. For someone it's the darkness of falsehood or lying, and etc., right? As they say, kind of pick your poison, right? So different people have different trials and tribulations. In any case, Allah says, dhulumat, layers and layers or shades of darkness. And that is a metaphor for misguidance, being lost, being away from Allah, literally being away from the light. And that's why you're in darkness. And so Allah says here, يُخْرِجُهُمْ. What does Allah do for His friends, the people who believe? He pulls them out. إِخْرَاج literally means that He removes them. He pulls them out. He extracts them from the layers and layers of darkness, from all the angles and the shades of darkness, إِلَى النُّورِ, into the singular light. And that's why the concept of nur and light in the Quran is always singular. It's always singular. Because there's one light. And that is the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one guidance, and that is the guidance of Allah. There's one truth, and that is Allah. He is Haq. And so He pulls them into the light. And on the flip side, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. If somebody just refuses to acknowledge Allah, believe in Allah, accept Allah, have faith in Allah, submit to Allah, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتِ, then someone else ends up befriending such people. Who befriends these people? الطاغوت. طاغوت in the Arabic language comes from طَغَى, which means to transgress, to cross the line and the limit, to become rebellious, to go renegade. And this basically refers to evil. the forces of darkness and evil. So all of those elements of evil and darkness and rebellion to Allah, they end up befriending that person. They claim those people. What do they do? يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ. They drag that person out. They drag that person out from the light into the layers and layers and shades of darkness. And now, what exactly is this referring to? So there's two things here. Two, what we call, you know, in terminology, they say the misdaq. Right? Where does this apply? How can we see this in real life? So there are two examples of that I'll share. There's probably more than we can even count and imagine. This is the Quran. It goes deeper than we can imagine, but two that I'll share with you. Number one, historically speaking, this is very fascinating. And again, I will try my best not to go too deep into the weeds, but stay with me. Historically speaking, the Prophet ﷺ is given the message of Islam. He brings it to the people. Where the Prophet ﷺ is, the region of Al-Hijaz, Mecca, Medina, that region, the Arabian Peninsula. There are two kinds of people there. There were two kinds of audiences for his message. The first audience were what the Quran calls Ahlul Kitab. These were people who believed in Judaism or Christianity. They were familiar with Adam and Ibrahim, with Musa, alayhim as-salam. They believed in these prophets, the Jews up to Musa, alayhi as-salam, the Christians all the way to Isa, alayhi as-salam. They had some ancestral knowledge of revelation, of prophets, of religion, right? They had some framework, some understanding. They believed in prophets, they believed in, you know, the gospel, and they believed in the Torah, and so on and so forth. Then there was a second audience. The second audience were the Jahili Arab. Arab is Jahiliya. The Arabs who were idolaters. They were idol worshippers. All right, they worshipped idols. They had no ancestral knowledge. They had a few remnants. They knew the Kaaba was a special place, but then they went and they stuck idols inside of it. They knew Arafah, Mina, Muzdalifah, there was something special about this, but they went and they stuck idols there. They didn't have a lot of this kind of background or knowledge. So if you think about it, the first audience, Ahlul Kitab, the Christians and the Jews, they had some nur. They had what?